Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21, look if you would at verse 14. Job 21:14. It says, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" Now, last week we began a series of messages that have to do with the value of being a Christian. And last week we looked in the book of Malachi and where people questioned whether or not they should serve God and whether or not it was worth serving God and whether or not there was any value in serving the Lord. And even right here in this passage, it gets asked again. It says, what should we serve him? But then they ask, is there any value in prayer? They say, what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Now, we learned last week that there is indeed great value in serving the Lord. And some of you have even experienced some of that value just very weak. But there is also great value when it comes to prayer. The Bible speaks a lot about prayer. In fact, when it comes to prayer, the Bible not only tells you what we should pray about, it also tells you, it gives you examples of people praying. You see Moses' prayer many times. You see Jesus when he taught the disciples to pray. You see the prayers that Jesus had when he was in Gethsemane. I mean, all the way through, you see people talking to the Lord. And certainly, the Bible has a lot to talk about a prayer and its place in the life of a Christian. It promises power. And it also, it's God's way of talking to us. In our way of talking to God. God's way of talking to us is through the scriptures, and then we talk to God through prayer. Tennyson once said, "More things are wrought by prayer than what this world dreams of." And there is no limit when it comes to prayer, because there's no limits when it comes to God. You know, the thing that we sometimes forget is exactly what prayer is. You know, we look at it as a chore, or we look at it as just something to do, but, you know, if you think about the fact that you're speaking to God himself, that's what makes prayer powerful. However, in our text here, in Job 21:15, we find those who question the prophet of prayer. And it says, "What profit should we have if we pray unto him?" They were questioning the value and the worth of prayer. So the question this morning is there any value in prayer? Is prayer useful? Is it worth praying? Is there any benefit to praying? Well, when we consider the words of these people, we can kind of draw some lessons from where they were, where Job is talking about these people, and we can learn exactly where they were coming from, so maybe we won't be in that same position. Now, I want you to think this morning, first of all, about their practice of prayer. And you say, well, how do you get how they practice prayer just by reading this verse? Well, notice that here it says, in verse 15, it says, if we pray. In other words, it says, what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Now, when Jesus talked about prayer over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, here's what he said. He said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." You see, what these people were saying is, if you pray, as if maybe you will or maybe you won't. But Jesus, when he talked, he says, when you pray. In other words, he was assuming that you are going to be praying and you should be praying all the time. You see, it shouldn't be a matter of if we pray. It should be a matter of when we pray. Amen? That's the way it should be with us. And so when Jesus spoke of prayer, that's what he was speaking of. It was not an if, but a when. And Jesus didn't look at prayer as something we might do. He was looking at something that we would do. And he was speaking about the practice of prayer. He was describing that prayer should be just a natural part of our lives. We shouldn't sit there and wonder, should we pray or should we not? We should be praying all the time. That's the reason Paul said, pray without ceasing. But these people in Job 21 looked at prayer as something that they might consider doing. They didn't look at prayer as an important practice or a habit in their life, but rather something that they might do or maybe if they think about it. But if you think about what the Bible describes as the practice of prayer, the Bible gives many examples of people praying all the time, and the Bible does make it very clear that prayer should be a fundamental part of our lives, and you know, it should be more than just something that we use in case of a storm, or you know, how we break glass in case of in case of emergency. That's kind of the way we look at prayer. Many people today don't pray at all until something bad happens in their life. Then they get on their knees and they pray. But we should be praying all the time. Prayer is it's not just something that you take to make your life easier. It's not like, you know, you buy STP oil treatment to put in your engine to make it run smoother. A lot of people think of prayer that way. But in Luke 18:1, Jesus said this. He says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So we should always pray. It should be something that just comes natural. Prayer is something that is required of us. Samuel said this in 1 Samuel 12:23. He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, I'll tell you what, those are harsh words right there. He says, listen, if I'm not praying for you, then I'm sinning against the Lord. Have you ever thought about prayer that way? Have you ever thought about the fact that if you're not praying for others, that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, listen, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, that wasn't a suggestion. It says we need to be praying all the time. Now, you say, well, does that mean I should be in prayer every minute of the day? No, it means that you should be praying all the time. Amen? I mean, whenever, sometimes I'm driving down the road and I'm praying. But don't worry, my eyes are open. Amen? I mean, I just doing that. Or sometimes I'll be sitting at the desk in there and I'll be praying. You can pray anywhere, folks. Some people think that if you can only pray at an altar. Or some people think that you can only pray when you're on your knees. Hey, when you look in the Bible, you see people pray laying down. You see people praying sitting down. People praying standing up. You see people praying on their knees. You can pray anywhere. And so we need to be praying all the time. Many Christians today, though, about the only time they pray is over their meals because it's a habit. But listen, it should be more than just a habit. It should be something that you do because you're talking to the Lord. And so Samuel says there that it's a sin if you didn't pray for people. Spurgeon said this of prayer. He says, as artists give themselves to their models and poets to their classical pursuits, so must we addict ourselves to prayer. And so prayer is something that should be just a regular, everyday occurrence, every moment occurrence for us. Not only that, when we're talking about it being a regular practice, we understand it's necessary. It's necessary for everything. Do you realize that there are a lot of things that we could avoid if we would pray? There are things that we can pray about that, you know, when you read in your Bible and you start to read the Old Testament stories and you start to see how God operates, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that many times God will lead people to the end of their rope just so they will call upon Him. Have you ever wondered? I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, probably the greatest example in the Old Testament is when He led the children of Israel out, and all of a sudden He led them right there, and here Egypt is behind them, and the ocean's right there in front of them, and they had nowhere else to go. Amen? And then at that point, then God says, okay, now that you're into your rope, now watch me work. You know, a lot of times that's what God will do. He'll lead us to our end of our ropes where we can't go anymore, and to sit there and say, all you have to do is just ask for help. All you have to do is ask for help. And then all of a sudden we ask for help, and God comes through and He gets us out of it, or He gives us a great answer to prayer, and we're thankful for it, but then we get to the point where we don't talk to God anymore after that until something else bad happens. What if we always talk to God before? Do you think He would always lead us to the end of a rope so we would talk to Him? If we were talking to Him all the time? Don't you see that there are a lot of problems that we go through because we don't stay in contact with God, because we don't pray to Him, and we don't talk to Him about things? And sometimes the Lord says, okay, listen, if you're not going to talk to me, I'll let you go your own way. Keep on doing it your own way, and then finally, whenever you get to the point where you can't go any further, you need help, go ahead and ask me. What if you had asked for help before you got there? Amen? And so prayer is supposed to be something that You know, Christians today, I'm just sold on the fact that nobody prays like we should be praying. Nobody in this room does. I mean, honestly, we should have prayed before we got inside the car this morning and come to church. We said, Lord, give me a safe trip here. Now, maybe some of you did that. If you knew I was on the road, you certainly should have done that. Amen? But listen, we need to pray and ask for that. Lord, give me a safe trip going to church. Lord, give me a safe trip coming back from church. Lord, help me to get a blessing when I come to church this morning. Lord, help me to keep awake this morning. Lord, when I start getting hungry, keep my belly from making noises. You know, we need to be praying all the time. I mean, you know what one of the best things you can do when it comes to prayer, honestly, is pray for each individual by name in this church. If you did that, and you got to know everybody in church, you started to know their problems, and then you started counting your blessings, do you know how long you'd be in prayer just on that? But we pray for 5 minutes, and we're wore out, and we got nothing else to say. That's the way the Christians are. We pray for about 5 minutes. We have nothing else to say. We're just totally done. That's because we don't think about all the things that are going on in this world. We're not thinking about all the possibilities. We're not thinking about all the things the Lord does for us. And we're certainly not thinking about each other like we should be. And so problems and trials and hard times, they have a way of bringing us to our knees. But I'm thankful that we can always come to the Lord with every problem that we have. And problems shouldn't be the only reason that we come to the Lord. Now, the Bible's description of prayer is not just one of just praying when we have to, but rather it's a practice that it should be regular and it should be a habit for us. That's what Jesus was describing in Matthew chapter 6 when he spoke of prayer, not as an if, but when we pray. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto the Father which is in secret. He never once said if, he said when. So he's talking about a place where we get alone with the Lord and where we pray and we do it all the time. And without doubt, I think that many Christians today are weak and many churches today are weak and lack power because they won't pray. And that leads me to a second thing, and that is the power of prayer. I don't think any of us really realize the power of prayer. I mean, if you think about it, the two greatest powers on this earth, you know what they are? Well, number one is this one right here. He said, well, that's just a book. That's just a Bible. It's just got pages on it. No, it contains the Word of God. You ever read in the Bible what the Word of God is able to do? I mean, in the beginning, God said, you know, let there be light, and there was light. That's the words of God. And you've got the Word of God right there. You mean to tell me it isn't powerful? And think about the power of prayer. Not only do you have the Word of God, but you have the ear of God. Because when you're praying, you're talking to the Creator who said, let there be light. Amen? Now you're talking about power. But see, what we do is we think, you know, well, you know, I believe that God's able to save my soul and I'm saved, but I don't know, Pastor. Power and prayer, come on. Now, you have more power than you think. And I'll tell you something. I'm sold on this too. Now, it's just an opinion. But I am sold on the fact that when we get to heaven one of these days and God shows us what could have been, and maybe he will, maybe he won't, I don't know. But if he shows us what could have been and then he says, you know, that's what could have happened, but all you had to do is ask. And you didn't. All you had to do is just come to me and pray, and that right there would have been yours, or this right here would have happened, or that right there would have happened, but you didn't ask. You don't have because you ask not. That's the problem with us, folks. You know, it seems like when it comes to our prayers, is either we don't pray, or when we do pray, that prayer is always focused on us, not on other people. But there's power in prayer. They asked in Job 21:15, he says, what is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? If you think about it, they were not only questioning the value of prayer, they were questioning the power of prayer there. They wonder if prayer worked, if it was worth their time. Well, question, does prayer work? I mean, is it something that works? Is there power in it? Let me ask you a question by reminding you of, let me just remind you of a few things that happened in the Bible. For example, in Matthew 7:7 it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that if you ask, it'll be given to you? If you seek, you shall find? You should if you're saved, amen? Did you not call upon the Lord for salvation? Did he not save you instantaneously? Sure. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When was the last time you prayed before you read your Bible? That's what it's saying right there. He'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's a lot of things in that Bible that Bob Crowder knowest not. But I pray that the Lord will show it to me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. James 5:16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you saw results of prayer? The Bible has promises and the Bible has power all the way through it. Ian Bounds wrote, "Prayer can do anything that God can do." You think about that for a second. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And people question the power of prayer? Over and over and over, the Bible declares that the prayer is man's greatest means of tapping into the infinite resources of God. So there are declarations of prayer. There's also demonstrations of prayer. Time after time in God's words, we see examples of what prayer can do. I think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. You read over there in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. He had all the prophets of Baal sitting up there, and he challenged those prophets to have their false god do something, and of course the false god couldn't do anything because he's not the true and living God. But then all of a sudden in 1 Kings 18:36, he makes this prayer. He says, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God." And all of a sudden the fire comes down and it consumes all that. Do you realize what he did? He called down, he prayed and said, "Lord, come, we poured all this water all over these sacrifices, and then we put more water on top of it, Lord. Now, Lord, I'm praying to you that you show these people who the true and living God is." And can you imagine what it must have been like that day, and all of a sudden that fire just come out of there and just burned up everything right there in front of everybody? Go tell Elijah that there's no power in prayer. I mean, you think about what happened. All right, think about also when Elijah, when he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3.5 years. I'd say that's pretty powerful. Pray in a 3.5 year drought. I tell you what, folks, I've been in droughts before, but I ain't ever been in a 3.5 year one. I mean, 3.5 years, things are going to dry up bad. And how did it happen? Because a man prayed and asked for it. Power in prayer. I think about Joshua in Joshua 10:12. When he prayed, "Sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou, a moon, in the valley of Ajalon." Hey, listen, he prayed that the sun would stand still and you get an extra time in a day. You know how powerful that is? Name something else on this earth that you could stop time with. But he was able to do it with prayer. Think about Peter over there in Acts 12, verses 5 through 7, when he was in prison. There he was in prison, in a Roman prison, where he can't get out. Romans were really good about keeping people in prison. In fact, the prison guards were, you know, if somebody escaped, the prison guards were put to death. So these people cared a lot whether or not you got out of that prison cell. And so there's Peter in prison, but yet while he was in prison, a house not too far from the prison, there's a whole bunch of people in there, and you know what they're doing? They're praying for Peter. They're praying. They're having an all-night prayer service. And then while they're sitting there praying, all of a sudden, an angel comes in there and the chains drop right off of Peter, opens the gate, lets him right on out. And what does he do? He goes over there, knocks on the door. They're still praying to open the door, and they about fell over because there was Peter. Tell Peter there wasn't power in prayer. There's no other way he could have got out of prison if it wasn't for the power of prayer. I mean, when we think about the power of prayer, we don't think about something that can stop time or something that can bring a 3.5 year drought or something that can call out fire out of heaven or something that can open up the gates when no other man can open up those gates. If we honestly thought for a second that prayer was that powerful, we would be praying all the time. Problem is we say we believe it, but we really don't believe it. We read our Bibles and we see all these things and we say, oh, I believe that. But really deep down, if you really thought that prayer could do what it did in the Old Testament, we'd be praying all the time, folks. You see, I think one of our biggest problems is this, is we don't have much of a problem believing the New Testament, because the New Testament is more us. Because you're saved in the New Testament. You're in the New Testament right now. Amen? But when you start reading those stories back in the Old Testament, there's two things that happen. One, we sometimes think that it's not the same God in the Old Testament that we serve today, because we see some of the things that happened in the past. And the other thing is when we see all the things that God did in the past, we somehow think that those things aren't possible today. And that's the reason right there that we don't have power in our churches, and that's the reason why we don't have power in our Christian life. Because really, deep down, we think that those things that happened in the Old Testament are nothing more than myths. But that's not true. The things that happened in that Old Testament are just as true as the things that happened in the New Testament. The miracles that you saw God do back in that Old Testament, you see miracles that are done today. You say, name me a miracle that happened today. How about when a man's soul gets saved? Have you ever thought about what it takes to save a man's soul? Anybody in here can save a man's soul? God can. God can give life. Anybody in here can give life? God can. Don't you understand you're seeing the miracles of God every day? Miracles that are bigger miracles than what the parting of the Red Sea is. I mean, you think about what it takes to save a man's soul or give somebody life, to make somebody become spiritually alive again. That's so much, I mean, the parting of the Red Sea is nothing compared to that. We have power in prayer, folks. And it's the same power that we saw back in the Old Testament. You have the same power today because it's the same God in the Old Testament as it is today. Same God, same power, same prayer, same way to talk to God. That has never changed. You realize that? Now, the way God talks to us sometimes has changed, but the way we talk to God has never changed since day one. It's us speaking to God through prayer. But many people today won't pray. And that leads me to the last thing, and that is the privilege of prayer. In our text in Job, the root and cause of their feelings about prayer lay in the fact that they fail to understand that prayer is a privilege. It is a privilege. You say, well, wait a second, I thought we were told to do it. We are, but it's still a privilege. And you say, well, why is it a privilege? It's always a privilege to talk to the king. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, do you deserve to talk to the king? Does he owe you to let you talk to him? Nope, he doesn't owe you a thing. None of us in this room deserve to talk to the Lord. I tell you what we deserve. Considering that the wages of sin is death, I'd say it's safe to say that every one of us deserve to die and go to hell. But yet, God says, you know what? Not only will I save you by the blood of Jesus Christ, but I'm going to let you talk to me. And you can talk to me anytime that you want to. Any time of the day, do you want to talk to me? You can approach my throne. Now, I want you to think about something, folks. I don't know if you've ever read a whole lot about how monarchies work and how kings work. You know, you can read a little bit about it over in the book of Esther. But, you know, when a king's on the throne, he's really particular about who he lets come to that throne. Not just anybody can approach that throne. He's very particular. And in fact, in the book of Esther, you know, he's got the scepter there. And if he didn't move that scepter, the person couldn't approach. Okay? And believe me when I tell you that in our monarchy, pretty much nobody except family can approach the king anytime he wants, any time of the day. In other words, you go wake up a king at 3:00 in the morning and say, just want to talk. That probably wouldn't go very well. Amen? But you've got the King of Kings. You've got the Lord God Almighty that you can talk to any minute of the day, and he wants you to talk to him any minute of the day. And you say, well, what does he want me to talk about? Anything you want to talk about. How many of you like to get things off your chest? You know, sometimes, in fact, I think we should need to do that more. You don't need to just keep it on there. Sometimes you just need to get it off your chest. Amen. Well, I like doing that. But you know, I just don't get things off my chest just to anybody. But I know that I can talk to the Lord about it anytime I want to. In fact, he wants me to, because he said, casting all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. He wants us to cast our cares upon him. He wants us to tell us. Do you realize sometimes we think, well, when I talk to the Lord, if I don't have something I want or something I'm thankful for, or if I don't have a problem in life, what am I going to talk about? Just talk to him. When was the last time you told the Lord how your day was? You ever think about that? When was the last time that something happened and you say, Lord, you know, I keep on trying to do this and this, and it just isn't working out. Just talk to him. He is your heavenly Father. And he does have an ear, and he has an ear for what you have to say. He wants to hear from you. But may I tell you, it is a privilege to talk to him. It's a privilege to be able to approach the King any time of the day and talk to him about anything we choose to talk about. And anytime that we have personal contact with God, it is a privilege. Anytime we have a personal conversation with God, it's a privilege. And we should cherish those opportunities. But people today don't look at it as a privilege. They look at it as something almost as a labor, as something that they dread to do. But we shouldn't look at it that way. How do you view prayer? I mean, honestly, if you think about it this morning, how do you view prayer? Do you when you think about praying, do you look at it as a chore that you have to force yourself to do? You know, a lot of people, you know, they get to the point to where they pray over their meals, but it's only because that's just what we do, and they just feel like out of place if they don't. And then when they do pray over the meals, they say the same old prayer all the time. But the Lord says, listen, when you pray, don't say the same things over and over and over. You're not supposed to have repetitive prayer. He said you're supposed to talk to me just like you would, like you would talk. But understand, he's the King. And so through prayer, we can actually have a conversation with God. We can actually talk to God. And if you think about what a privilege and honor that is, how do you view prayer? Do you view prayer as just something to get something from him? Do you view prayer as a break glass in case of emergency type of thing? All of a sudden you wake up one day and you feel like you want something, or you want a new job, or you want something here or something there, and you say, well, I think I'll pray about that. And is that the only time you pray? You know, when we pray, we need to understand who we're talking to. We need to understand who he is, his position. And we're conversing with the one who just by his words can make anything happen. But yet we take prayer so lightly. I believe all of us would have a better life if we would just pray and talk to God about our request. If we would actually cast all our cares upon him. If we would ask so that we would receive. Because we have totally taken for granted everything there is about prayer. I'm going to tell you right off the bat that in the last few weeks, there have been many prayers in this church about certain things. Many, many prayers about certain things. I'm not going to tell you what those things are just yet, okay? But there have been many prayers about certain things. And I had a person yesterday, I was sitting there talking to a person, and that person said to me, she says, you know, it's just, I stand in awe seeing how God answers prayer. And I said, well, what are you talking about? She goes, well, we've been praying about this issue. And I said, well, we have too. In fact, the whole church has been praying about it. And she goes, yes, and the very next day it happened. I was like, amen. And then I started to think, well, wait a second. Before that, we were praying about an issue, and guess what? Within a couple of days, it happened too. Amen? You know, when you're right with God, and your prayers are being heard, which, by the way, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God because your prayers are not being heard. But if you're right with God and you're praying, God wants to answer your prayers. Amen? He wants to answer it. And he's saying this, if you want to receive, you got to ask. Our problem is sometimes we're just like spoiled little kids. We think that we just should get anything we want. We don't have to ask for it. What do we do with our children? We just let them go grab anything they want to? You say, nope, got to ask first. Say, please. That's what we do. That's what God wants us to do too. Just ask. And I'll tell you something, folks. We could have more blessings. We could see the power of God. We could see all these things happening if we would just get on our knees and pray. How many of you want to see more people get saved this year? When was the last time you prayed for people to get saved? When was the last time you prayed to give us wisdom when we go out that we may talk to these people and tell them, you know, tell them something that, you know, give them a scripture. Lord, give me a scripture to tell them, because the Lord knows what's going on in each person's life, and He knows the scripture that person needs to hear in order to reach Him. And so, you know, all the way through the Bible, we have scriptures that you could use to lead people to the Lord. John 3:16 is one of them. The Romans Road is some of them. I mean, you could take them over to Revelation and show scriptures. What scriptures are you going to use? What are you going to say? When was the last time you said, Lord, just put somebody in front of me that I can witness to? Lord, when was the last time you said, Lord, let me see somebody get saved? You say, I haven't seen anybody get saved in years. Have you been praying about it? When's the last time you asked? There's power in prayer, folks. And all you have to do is ask. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're going to get everything that you want, because, again, we're like spoiled brats. We want everything our way. Amen. But if you ask, and it's something that God's will is, He's going to answer that prayer. He's going to give it what you want when it comes to His will. And I guarantee you start praying for people to get saved, and you start praying that the Lord will give you wisdom, and you start praying the Lord will put people in front of you in your path that you can witness to, I guarantee you He'll do it. Why? Because it glorifies Him. Every time a person gets saved, it glorifies Him. We need to pray. We need to pray that this church will start to grow and will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us. When was the last time you prayed for somebody else? When was the last time you prayed, hey, Lord, could you let this church help all of us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You think God's not going to answer that prayer? There's power in prayer, folks. And it shouldn't be an if we pray. It should be when we pray. Because not only is there power in prayer, it is a privilege to pray. And it's a privilege that we should not take for granted. It's a privilege that we shouldn't shun. Every time that you open your mouth to the Lord, you need to be thankful that you're even able to talk to Him. Do you realize if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ that you wouldn't be able to utter a single word to the Lord Jesus to God? You wouldn't be able to talk to Him. Why? Because the reason you're able to talk to Him right now is because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He knows exactly what we need. So we pray, and the Holy Spirit of God takes that prayer to the Lord, and therefore we're able to talk. There's a mediator there. There's an intercessor there. It's a privilege every time you get to open your mouth to the Lord. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank you just for letting me approach the throne of grace in a time of need? We take prayer for granted. So the question this morning is this. Is there value in prayer? Do you realize this morning that there are kids in this church because of prayer? There are kids in this church right now because of prayer. Do you realize this morning that there are people who are saved in this church because of prayer? I'd say prayer has value. I'd say it has value. In fact, outside of the Word of God, I'd say it's probably the most valuable thing that we have on this earth. Amen?